Yeah, at the end, that's right, I'm sorry, my mistake. At the end of the Shiva, the end of our Chaim, the end of our Chaim, Ramah brings down, he says, the Tov Lev Mishkatonet. Why does he bring down the end of our Chaim? Because the Or HaChaim is supposed to be, tell us the way of life. That's the whole say the Or HaChaim. Your day is different. Feels a different area. Chayshim Mishka something else. Heaven has a different area. But Or HaChaim is the way of life. So he concludes the Or HaChaim by the pasuk the Tov Lev Mishkatonet. It means to say that all the halachas written in Or HaChaim should lead to one state. What is that state? Tov Lev Mishkatonet. That's the state in this pasuk. Okay, Alan Taurus mentioned Or HaChaim. He has it. He has it right in there. If the Hilchus too. If the Hilchus basic nesses, he has it. It's an interesting thing. So what does Yadus really want of a person? Exactly the opposite of what people think that Yadus wants. Because people think that Yadus demands of a person to keep all the halachas and to go through a painful existence of following halachas and to suffer l'shem shamayim, and the end of the Ramoy is just the opposite. That the whole purpose of Or HaChaim is one thing. Tov Lev Mishkatonet. That's the purpose. The objective of Yadus is to give a person a true sense of happiness and satisfaction. That's why he concludes that pasuk. That's the objective. And if it doesn't, then there's something wrong with his Or HaChaim. There's something wrong with his way of life. Yes. The only system that can lead a person to such a state of mind, that's the system of Yadus. Okay. Interesting thing. So you see that it's an amazing thing. You see that the good, he says like this. I mean, I'm emphasizing it, but I think it's sometimes the emphasis leads to a different quality. The quantity is a quality in this case. It says, like a person is always making a party. That state of happiness. And he says, okay, so you see, so the it's an interesting thing that this is, he says, this is the Alkein Mida Tova He Ad Miod. So what is the Yadus analogizes the real good for man as a certain state of satisfaction of the ego. See, the satiated ego, that is the good state. And the bad state, the evil state, the raw, is considered the impoverishment of the ego. An interesting thing. That is how Yadus ascribes, defines good and bad. Yes? Yes, he says, why? He says, Achash Hashem Yisbarach Nasan Lo Bameshi Yisparneis. If God gave him that with which he can make a living, the Yasok B'Torah Mitzvahs, and he could sit and learn, and he could do mitzvahs. He says, Ki Ma Yisron Lo Adam B'Chol Amolo. Why does he quote the pasuk Ma Yisron Lo Adam B'Chol Amolo? So we should know, because we learn Kohelis. Ma Yisron, Yisron means, the Yisron means the illusion of a certain fantastic good that lies out there somewhere. Every person imagines that there's some fantastic thing that's going to occur to me that's going to make me extremely happy. That sense, you see, is the true source of the depletion of the ego. The ego is depleted in so far as it has a desire for something, you see, which is unattainable. Everybody in the back of their mind is always in that state, see. In the back of their mind, they're waiting for some kind of salvation, some great thing that's going to happen to them, you see. This state of the mind, they think it's a healthy state. See, the workers say they're healthy. A person should always have his dreams, you see. Always have his dreams. Yadda says it's bad. That is a horrible state. Why? Because, ipso facto, because he always has that dream, he's in forever in a state of impoverishment. Because he always feels that this great thing is he's waiting for this great thing, which means right now he doesn't have it, so he's in a constant state of impoverishment. A man with dreams is a very sad man. Very sad man in Yaddas. Yes. Yeah, the real mishta is where the person's satisfaction and his energies are directed towards the real good. And that's what he says. Me'acha she'yachal asak b'tarva mitzvahs. That is the real, if a person feels towards Torah and mitzvahs the way he would feel towards this great dream, you see, then he's in the good state. You see? But that, no, on the contrary. Then he is there because it's an involvement. He's happy with the state. He's not awaiting an attainment of an object. He has it. He has the activity. He's involved constantly in the activity which he loves. This is the state. It's a state of being involved in an activity which he constantly enjoys. The wealth is right there. It's as far away as the blood gemara. That's the wealth. If a person sits down to learn and he feels that now I'm going to involve myself in the greatest enjoyment I could possibly have, and he senses that enjoyment, and he realizes that this is the greatest thing attainable, the most enjoyable experience I can have, an uplifting experience. And his emotions are tied to that, and he senses true happiness from the experience. This person will never have a depleted ego. It's impossible. It's always there. Let's sit down and learn something. Let's discuss an idea. And that idea, he senses this is his wealth. You see, this is Ashiras. That feeling has to be translated and transmitted to the phenomena of involving oneself in Torah mitzvahs. Person feels that sense. That's the only sense that a person can, the only time that a person can feel that there's nothing else to look forward to. This is it. He has the enjoyment. He has the pleasure of life. He has the greatest enjoyment of life. This is it. Then he can feel a sense of fulfilled ego. Only in that state. The other state is impossible. The other state is a state where he's looking for something which is a complete fantasy. That's the Yisram. Persons are waiting for he's waiting to win the lottery, the fantasy. He could never be in a state. He'll always have to be in a state of impoverishment. Different state of mind. Yes. What Danny Myers mentioned before was also Ayomas Avram b'seva tova zokin v'saveya. I mentioned it many times. That's exactly So Ramban says, Zokin v'saveya, he says, he wasn't waiting anymore for an ischachus of the, what's the Lashon Ram? Ischachus ayomim? Ischachus ayomim. He wasn't waiting anymore for something new to occur. He didn't have that feeling. What's going to happen? Some great thing can happen to me in the future. People live without expectations. Some great thing can happen in the future. Zakein v'saveya. He was entirely satiated. There was nothing for him to look forward to. That's precisely who is the happy man in Yadis? Who is the happy man in Yadis? A man who has nothing to look forward to. That's the happy man. That's why, what does the Shah say? Das Balabayas is hepach of Das Tar. Question of what? Question of what? Question of what?
Torah. Suppose it's Yehudah Torah, right? Yehudah Torah, you know, it's Bias and Mashiach. It's Bias and 9-11, right? So Bias and Mashiach, Ani Mamin, Bacho Pishi Yishma Mea, Inko Zah Hakalo, Bechol Yom Shiyova. So apparently, a person, we are waiting for something. Waiting for Bias and Mashiach. That's the case. We need to state of the vision. That would be those ways, Mr. Summer, if we think our Chaim, if we're still in the Bias and Mashiach.
The Rambam could say that Ani Mamin, the reason why I say it is simply an enunciation of your belief in the fact that this will occur. It's one of the Yajimul Ikar. But not in it, right, but not that you personally are missing something. But the only thing is, Achakala doesn't imply that, and the Rambam says in the end of Hilchas Malachim, not because of this, but that, only because there should be Osek in Torah. So apparently there is some type of, we do have a lack, the fact that Mashiach isn't here. I mean, we should sense that there is some lack. So then you have Donnie Meyer's question, if that's the case, so we're also suffering from a lack. Yeah, so what's the answer? No, see, I want to hear the answer, has to, you have to, right, everybody still agreeing, as a matter of fact, that's why you put Ephraim Machlan, the verse of the Chassim, the same because the moment you have a simcha, you're mechuyev to mention Yerushalayim. That means no simcha is complete without Yerushalayim. What could be a greater lack than that? What's the answer? If you don't feel a lack, there's something wrong. You're missing something in Yados. There's Nechatein Galinim Atzeinu, all the tefillin saying on the Oli Yom Tovim. It's a lack. We definitely have to feel there's a lack here. The answer is yes. The answer is yes. The answer is that we distinguished before between two types of needs. There's a need in which the gavra is a gavra. I am a person. I'm missing something. Yep. People are like, everybody's missing something. But there's another state, the state in which the person's essence is lacking. That's what it means by a depletion of the ego, means his essence is missing. He's missing a part of his essence, you see. It's not simply that he needs another acquisition, but his state of mind is affected. That's the state of mind of an oni, an impoverished individual. He's lacking something. It's not simply he wants something extra. He wants to get a new watch. He wants to get a new shirt. It means that he's in a state in which his very self has been depleted, you see. The answer is, of course we're waiting for Mashiach. Of course we're waiting for an improvement of our state. The person will be a fool not to. But it doesn't mean that the person has an impoverished ego, you see. It doesn't mean that he's waiting for his dream to be fulfilled, that right now his dream is nothing. That's not what it means, you see. He has the essence of what he needs. He has Torah mitzvahs. Torah mitzvahs is the essence. That's what the Ramban told the Ferdinand. He said, this is the, doesn't matter about Mashiach. I have everything, my essence is fulfilled right now. I could sit and learn a piece of Gemara, like the Rav said. It's true, it's a terrible thing, Chorban Abayas, but the Rav said, I don't have to worry about it because I have the Gemara Svachim. As far as I'm concerned, the Beis HaMikdash is alive and well. All the halachas and all the karbonis and all the halachas are still there. So in terms of the essence, of course it'll be nice. Shebona Beis HaMikdash, we'll have different questions, different shilas will emerge, there will be a whole different state. For Klal Yisrael, it will be one that is more conducive towards learning. We won't have to waste that time as much as we do now with nonsense and with problems and with difficulties that we have. That'll be wonderful, be better. But do I have the essence? That's the question. Is it an impoverishment of the ego, or do I have the jewels? Do I have the all that which my heart dreams of? Sasa nochi yalim rasecha kemotzei shalom rav. Do I have that now? Yes, I have that. The essence is here. Enhancements? Sure. There always are enhancements, and a person would be foolish if he wouldn't want to enhance his state. But it's not, he is not, you're not talking about an impoverished ego. See, that's what the Ramban said. So what? Mashiach didn't come, so what? Doesn't make any difference. Fact is, I have Torah mitzvahs. My essence is here. My enjoyment is here. The riches are here. We're not missing, essentially. Conditions, sure, better conditions is better. Naturally, a person wants to improve his condition, no matter what. And a person should look forward to an improvement of condition, looks forward to it. Hakalo is still missing it, but his essence isn't missing. As long as you have Torah mitzvahs, the essence isn't missing. That's the difference.
Whereas the person who is waiting, the person who is waiting for the Yisra, waiting for the unexpected to happen to a person who is going to give him salvation and make him happy, that person is lacking essentially. That's the difference. Okay. to the objective. The objective is not to be ethical. And that's why it's an interesting thing that psychologically what the person does, but also only on account of what the group gets. Why is it so important? Who gets it? Who doesn't really get it? And it sounds like it was really good to get it very nice. What can we get? The answer is because Donald say that the time of the idea of the gift looks like opening the gift, waiting for that opening for someone to bestow someone to give him that gift or fantasy. And the gift is really a small measure. Recognizes a fantasy. So when we say hate, and when we say hate, when we say hate, because I'll say hate, due to somebody but somebody but. What does it mean? It means they hate that which destroys man. There is a philosophical distortion. A person who is on a philosophical level loves that which is good to man and naturally detests that which is not. And since the idea of the gift time to that fantasy, we look at these weak factors. We look at the strain upon that fantasy. And we recognize that this is something that says it's a man, that says it's a man. Philosophical gratitude. It is like the distortion of the reality that is brought about through the fantasy of the gift. Behind every gift, behind the fantasy of every gift, every small gift, the look, the ultimate fantasy. Because if someone will come along one day and give him everything he wants and make him totally happy. You see? That fantasy lies behind every little matan. That's why it says, Tony Matan says, the person who is the hater of matan, the hater of gifts, he is the man that loves. Because he has overcome that fantasy. That's it. Yes, that's the converse of history. Exactly, the converse of history. So that's why he used that process to support himself. So they say, Washa Samea Pachata Samema, the Gia Kachata Kishoka, like Shoka the Toba. I want to tell you another idea. How does a person become a Samea Pachata? The person who gives up that idea. He overcomes that idea. He recognizes that idea. An interesting thing, but I want you to know that it is definitely the piece of a gift. There's no question about it that this state cannot be brought about without the fact. Without a job, fucking one of the other. Without the love of fucking one of the other. It's simply that love will not go. You can't put one from the other. In other words, if he doesn't have as his primary source of enjoyment, the learning of knowledge, gaining of knowledge and learning and ideas and chokhmah to Torah, he doesn't have that, he's just becoming a chokhmah to Torah, the depletion of the ego can never be overcome unless he has some source of enjoyment and pleasure and something where he can partake of the good, where he can go and have an endless source of pleasure. He doesn't have that, but he has to have the complete ego. The inherent, what Chazal saying, the same way he's got a question of psychology versus philosophy, versus yadda. It is true. What would be defined as a psychologically healthy ego would not be defined by yadda such a psychological ego. Because the psychology would say is one of the things of abnormal psychology, the study of the mind, and the people have normal, they have like the ego. On the contrary, the person who is a very involved in amassing power, in building empires, is considered psychologically healthy. And psychology says the person who is healthy and the person who wants to make more money. So that's why you have the ego. Yes, psychologically, that's true. Psychologically, there's no doubt about it. Psychologically. But philosophically, according to Yadis, the only true Yadis is never happy if you live in the particular neurosis. Now the only answer to you is the neurosis of all of mankind. And the neurosis of all of mankind is when a person is in a depleted state of the ego. The state of the fact that he doesn't have the blood. What is the blood? He doesn't have an endless source of his own blood. And that means that he has to convert his energy to the true endless source of his own blood. It's too well. The question is this, do you value it too well? No value in the direction, that's our market reference. And the way to do it is to go through the words of the common and to analyze and to understand the word role in play. Okay? Now, the Ibn Ezra, in the beginning of Togo, so you have the incident that occurred with the act of nature. Right? Asa came back to the field in a frustrated and unsuccessful way. And Yaakov was at home cooking the lentils. And Asa said, and he felt a frustration, he said, I was saying, Nomina Doma Doma Zeh, the oil for nothing. And he was, of course, he was cooking, he said, Adam Adam Zeh. Yeah, yeah. seems that he was in a state of frustration. He returned to a just state. Thank you. showed they want to look up at it. There's a reason for all this. We have no right to investigate this right guy. The unremarked throughout the term, which is a very deep, God's of course, a very deep, and he calls the God to other markets. Man who takes your understanding.
Blessing of God makes one wealthy. Hello, Yosef.
accept me. It doesn't depression I will hold you over to Mr. Molesta, and all the others will I see. And also go and join the scene of the person on Britain. The scene to come before them and you may choose them. Choose by each other to offer. And he says that they have another for sure, another for each person, and the only person is the other person for us. And then, and with the other hand, if there's one more than each person, rah, mazel. What are you going to say that each person is all about mazel? Let me just tell you what's in the framework. him definitely thinking in the central way of keeping it. He's not bothered. What Ron Fon is arguing is that he is doing it. Now, Bond is arguing that on Bond's point of view, that it's true. You do the imagination based on the person, the subject, and not on that point of view. Frankly, it's a far greater life. He's a greater life, a more enjoyable life. And the wealthiest individual who wants to be the life, the rest is the result, and enjoys the essential part of his nature. The only thing is that what Rambam says that there is an each sentence. In other words, in so far as he has to be concerned somewhat about his financial but in so far as he must be involved, even in a useful way, some representative way, in some small way, that is in that certainly takes away from his preoccupation. Now, Ibn Ezra was aware of that. Ibn Ezra knows that. But Ibn Ezra prolonged this question by one point. This point, he said, how can we let the guy? Because that's another thank you. tzaddik in Chazal. There's a tzaddik, and then there's a tzaddik gomel. As all the French are, you see different types of tzaddik. What's the difference between a tzaddik and a tzaddik gomel? A tzaddik is a person who isn't free, really, of the emotional defect. The emotions have an impact, but he takes all of that and he drives towards the good. So there you can say that answer. But a person, you have to tell him. You can say that answer. In other words, a person who, every person likes to feel financial security, it's a good feeling in the sense of financial security. It's a good feeling for a person. So a person who has that need, everybody likes to be honest, respectful. So a person who has that need, you see, if that's the essential part of his life, then he's a veteran. But if he recognizes the need, but it's not essential, but he's happy that it's taken care of. He doesn't have that problem. He doesn't have to worry about it. He feels a certain sense of security in his financial status. Or he feels in his respected individual makes him feel good. That's his emotion. But he recognizes that's not the essence. But it's just something that he's getting exploiting for his emotional well-being. He's still considered a topic. As long as he directs his energy and feels real good, he recognizes that these things are not essentially the good. He's considered a topic. It's a high level. Very high level. But a tzaddik gomel is different. Tzaddik gomel means where he's completely unaffected. It's a different level. That's why the Gemara says, the world of ancient Israel, the Israel of the Gemara, the Gemara, the Gemara, the Gemara. One of the things, the tzaddik gomel doesn't have any problems whatsoever. He's in a different world. He's not affected at all by the Gemara. Different level. Now it's hard to say, and the Rosh Hashanah means, what it means by this means, that Rosh Hashanah means a person who is totally on the instinctual level. Because he could satisfy himself in this life instinctually. It doesn't even have a very satisfactory ending, but it means in the process that he's not inhibited. But an average, a middle-of-the-road person suffers. He wants to satisfy his instinct, and then he has the counteract, and he's caught in between. He really has a very difficult life, a life of frustration. Like the average person, right? Frustrated life. That's what Chazal said. But a tzaddik gomel, you see, is a different level. He's a person that is completely unaffected by anybody's emotions. He's a different kind of level. He can't say, over there, that there's any emotion that can make him in the world of Torah Mitzvah. He's unaffected because that's the only way to try to get him in. That's what he wants to do. Where is he going to try to get him in? He's doing it. He's everything he can do. The other person who is thinking of driving, and he's not driving this person, he's not doing right, caught up in all kinds of conflicts. So he's like, just a very different life. Yeah. You see, a person, I mentioned last time that the Rambam says, the Tzaddikim didn't want to take anything from anybody, unless they're angry. They didn't want to take any money. Only what's on the side. Okay? That's not an Isser, but a Tzaddik. And even if a person took it, it would still be a Tzaddik. But it's not a Tzaddik Gomel. Tzaddik Gomel is different. Why is Tzaddik Gomel? Tzaddik Gomel means that a person who is on a level where he only relates to God and another life. Now the thing is, what the Sefer Rambam means by this, that a person's needs, his basic needs, in other words, the sustenance of a tzaddik is tied directly to God and another life. And that means that he has to be on the level where in that area he has Zaha relationship. In the area of suffering, he has Zaha relationship. Now, since that's the case, that he has Zaha relationship in that area, what the Ramban means is not, Ramban doesn't really mean that. That's his point. There's no doubt about it. That's the no human mind in the area of suffering. Ramban disagrees with the reason because of the area of ocean. He says,
Okay.
But in so far as the Ramban is concerned, Ramban sits to get over to the different things. So that's Ramban. And as I said, three needles, four more needles. These two have to work together. But the fact that these two work together and form one entity, it wasn't Benzoma that made that discovery. Is that Ben Yonah? Who was the one that said that these two things work together? It was Yumi Yonah. Was the first one to say. Completely. The Pesach says in Yumi Yonah like this.
Also, he could take pride. Thank you.
is those who fell on the fellow, what does it mean? It means that there is an there are two types of pride. There's a relative pride, and there is an objective pride. The objective pride is a mess. The word pride doesn't mean that you would use it properly. It means that the person objectively has a certain sense of satisfaction. And he's living in the world. And he deserves to call him. What is that? He doesn't learn because he wants to be in a position of X amount of knowledge. No, is there a problem? I learn to what does it mean? It means to say that his mind is completely open to the possible. Whatever he says in his hearing, he's incredibly in love with that. That is not the type of it. It's not a very early disciple. Simply, it's a pattern of truth that I'm certainly trying to get ready for something to come. Ready to set up anything to the future. He's right there now. He's there. Well, California. Same thing with a Jerry Zubar, and Jerry Zubar covers the people. That also is what it means, because it means to say a person follows his mind as far as reality is concerned, and he doesn't get caught up with the relative, with the world of the relative, where this one thinks he has smarter than me, and this one thinks he got this other thing. He's not in the world. He's in Picasso overall person. That's his comparison. He doesn't know. He doesn't notice. They think it's an advantage and he doesn't notice it. He's not in that world. That's the two problems that he thinks of. He doesn't require to be in the world. And the same thing with Isaiah Russell from Michael Buffett. Isaiah Russell is ferocious and he's in a certain state and he's in a certain state of happiness. And he recognizes that the two values, the two riches are, the two wealth is. He's in that state naturally. There's nothing to choose. What are the three? What is the number? Why do you have three? The three is very simple. Because one is impossible without the other. For instance, in other words, the three shefayetah means that the person isn't concerned with what other people do about it. But again, it certainly doesn't bother. And the speed of me is going to affect. Why? Why is he affected? Because he's not in the same world of values as they are. And therefore, he's going to affect. But he has to be in the world. He has to be in the world because of the personal religion. The human mind is only. People know it. So he has to be a replacement for the energy. Not the area of involvement. Where is that area? That area must be the area of power. So I think, and the same thing with Isaiah Russell from this perspective, it's impossible for the person to be solidified, to be a fanatic, where he has nothing, and he will say, look, I mean, I don't care about, accumulating endless amounts of wealth. That's very nice to say, so what do you care about? You have to have something that you're involved in. You have to be something that a person thinks is doing nothing. A person has tremendous type of energy. So the only way that he can really be satisfied is if his energies are directed towards something which is a real good, which is based on purpose. So really, the three are one, basically. They just stem from different aspects of the person. One is the intellectual aspect, the intellectual perception. He doesn't have a good perception, so he can't keep it up. He doesn't know what it is. He has to study, he has to learn, he has to be able to reach the level of abstract thought that he can appreciate properly. He reaches that level, then he has to keep his impression. The other side comes from the emotion. To be able to think of the emotion. But the concept of the emotion is only possible if he has his own. Something which he has to be living in the world. The first thing is either living in the world with a relative, or else he's living in the absolute world. If he doesn't recognize that absolute world, there's no way that he can be successful. If he recognizes the world as certain ideas, the world is talking about him, then he has to stop it. Otherwise, it's a good thing. That's the other thing. And the association is only possible if, in fact, you value the area of property. So basically, the three are really overall purpose. It means they don't. Insofar as he relates to other people. That's what it means. But it says, the person is trusting us and addressing the children's death. It couldn't say that a person who takes revenge and without talking to fools, the person who doesn't even want to take revenge on a higher level. Right? So one is insofar as other people are concerned. And the veil of usher is insofar as an objective state. And the reason is that there are two different psychological methods. In other words, a person could be okay insofar as he's alone. As a kind of person is alone. He doesn't have any conflicts with people, he's happy and he's alone. But if you put him in a situation where he's involved with other people, certain emotions come into the interaction with others arouse certain emotions, with different types of phenomena, different types of psychological phenomena. So that's why you could have it, that's why it's a separate thing. The reason why it's a separate thing is because emotion is different. And their rushing is self-satisfaction. The self-satisfaction is to be able to do, not just when he's alone, not just when other men met them, not to be alone when they're not there. Both require the assurance and other one muscle to be totally satisfied and himself objectively require thought muscle and so they say both require the really that's the problem. When the growth is high on the power, what do you mean? The person who can try it can either survive. He will survive. It's not objective. But there is a sense of satisfaction in a person. When the growth is high on the power, not a person has a right to. This is a right to reflect on his life and to take his status. He's living with the right man. He's still left out of the future of the past. He's still left out of the future of the past. How scary are they all? And our goals without a goal or anything to exist with them, exist with you to the single life of the world. And there's nothing to do with the world.
Well, we mentioned last time, I'm going back, I'm backtracking a little bit. So what we said was it was a very interesting point, I think, that from the Psukim, that what we see is that in Yadus, the Yadus even learns from corrupt situations in man. Like Yadus learns from the fact that a person who responds, who reacts to his anger and haste, is going to be unsuccessful. Was a person who is calculated with his anger and takes revenge according to reason will be successful. So that's something which, of course, other religions would frown upon. But Yadus says, no, we see an interesting thing from this. Like we mentioned the Mafia. Mafia works with a certain rationale, certain rationality. They don't just get lost up in their emotions. So we don't learn from them insofar as their approach is concerned, but there's something to be derived from this. Yeah, and that is namely that reality, rationality, is a in this world, is an effective process. The Chacham only differs in that his whole framework is rational. But we see that rationality works. Rationality always works. But the Chacham follows rationality to the point where even his framework is the very structures that he lives in are rational. That's when the person is totally in line with reality. Whereas a person who is revengeful, even if he's intelligently revengeful, he's using intelligence, but his framework of revenge is not a realistic one. There is no rationale for revenge. It's just not rational. It's a totally an emotional phenomena based on a person's fantasies, not based on reality. There's no logical reason for a person ever to take any revenge. Even though it's a very powerful emotion. It's only because he lives, the revenge only makes sense in a certain framework that he believes to be true, when it's really an infantile framework. It's not the framework of reality. The framework of the abstract, of the absolute, of the universe, the whole thing is nonsensical. Okay. Now, what came to my mind was that really you have a parsha in the Torah that that deals with this. It's an interesting parsha. It's the parsha of Lavan Arami. See? Lavan was not a fool. As a matter of fact, we mentioned, why does it say, it says, Avram's going to say that you should go to my mishpacha, you go back to take a son, take a wife for my son. So, the whole story of...